You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
That was the first time you guys ever played a game as an Avalanche, was in Vail, Colorado. At that,
see, I don't remember that. I was telling someone a couple days ago, I was like, I've been retired for 14 years now, and I feel sometimes I've never played the game. So it's a recollection of stories.
All right, here we are with Avalanche legend, one of the most games played in the history of the franchise. He's in there. Two-time Stanley Cup champ. We are brother-in-laws. It's awesome. Stefan Yell, welcome, Stefan, to our new show here. AJ, myself, we are very happy to have you with us.
Thanks, boys. Thanks for having me.
All right. And we always refer to the Avalanche right now as the Avalanche 2.0, and I'm sure we'll get into it to ask your thoughts on, you know, this year and obviously the last couple years edition of the Avalanche. But, and then we always refer as your era being one of the original guys here as Avalanche 1.0. You know, that's surprising, but makes us very smart, you know. And then but I want you, because I know that I know the story, and I know you were one of the first ones here, and when you guys got here for training camp, I want you to kind of explain to our viewers a little bit, like, it didn't exist, like the Avalanche didn't exist, they barely had a name, and you guys showed up here for training camp, and go a little bit about, like, where training camp was and which hotel, and you guys were absolutely clueless on what the hell was going on, and, you know, elaborate a little bit on this.
Yeah, it's funny. I was telling this story to someone maybe last week. I was in Cornwall the year before playing the minors, came in with a bunch of guys early. I think we were a couple of weeks early, and ended up at Los Giorgio on Colorado Boulevard. I think it's a Hyatt now. And again, I was in the minors a year before. I wasn't, you know, familiar with the NHL or with, like, the whole NHL play here. But so we ended up checking into Los Giorgio, and then the second day after, like a couple of days after, we get into one of those, not a minivan, but like one of those cargo vans, and they're like, we're gonna go skate somewhere. So we're like, all right, let's go. And when you don't know the layout of the city. I mean, we'd never been to Denver, and I think we ended up at Foothills Ice Arena, where a small little rink, and we were like, oh my god, where are we? But I ended up skating there for I think a week or so, and then I think we transferred to the old rink at DU, and that's where we had the first training camp here in Colorado.
Was the first training camp at DU? I don't remember. It was McNichols, or there was not even ice ready at McNichols, right?
Yeah, I don't believe it was. For camp, it was at DU. And then I think we started practicing at South Suburban after. That's amazing. I mean, you remember, Eric, you were there. We used to have to get dressed at McNichols and drive up to either DU or South Suburban, so.
Year and I got pulled over, you know that. You weren't in my part of my car crew, but I got pulled over one time, on the highway, I-25, four dudes dressed in a car. It's crazy. And they're like, and people are, if you're a car, you didn't even know what the Avalanche had been here for a year. They didn't even know, like, they're like, they thought it was Halloween or something. Where are you guys gone? It was crazy. But I'm gonna jump in before AJ again, but I want you to, you know, talk about, and where was the first exhibition game that you guys played? I know the answer, but, you know, people don't believe me. They're like, no way, you know.
First exhibition game.
Remember, you guys played against San Jose in Vail.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I mean, people don't realize that. Like, you know, there was like what, 200 people in the stands, and you know, you guys played in Colorado and in Vail, and that was kind of, people don't realize that was the first time you guys ever played a game as an Avalanche, was in Vail, Colorado.
See, I don't remember that. I was telling someone a couple days ago, I was like, I've been retired for 14 years now, and I feel sometimes I've never played the game. So it's a recollection of stories. It's difficult.
Maybe you didn't even play that game. I remember exhibition. I mean, preseason games, there's only 20 guys, and there's like freaking 75 in camp, and maybe you didn't make the track down, but...
Yeah, maybe.
But I'll give you the floor, AJ. Go ahead, you know.
Yeah, one of the things that people always want to know when looking back on Avalanche 1.0, some of your favorite Avalanche memories.
Wow. Well, for me, I think we played Detroit in my first game, and old McNichols, and it's kind of like the start of a big rivalry, obviously, later in that year. But and then obviously winning the cup the first year, and you know, the parade, 96, it was amazing.
What did you do with your cup, with your day with the cup?
Well, I had two, so I was lucky, but from a small town in Canada, Eric's been there, so he knows just you know, more cows and farms than people.
Great little and, town. Bougette.
Yeah, small French town. So got the cup to brought the cup home to my parents' house. Got the school involved, and then just the people from down there. It was a big deal for them. Obviously, it was for us and my family as well, but. Tried to get as many people involved as possible, and the second time was a little different.
So, but did you have the same time? Didn't you do the same one the second time or no?
Second time. Actually, the first time was at my parents' house, and then we went to the school and the golf course, and then in 2001, parents' house, friends' sports bar in Rockland. And then we ended up in at the Hard Rock restaurant in Ottawa.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So we ended up there for a party. Yeah.
Yeah, one of the things that we talk about a lot with Avalanche 2.0 is the development of young players into role players in the NHL. And I wanted to ask you what it was like to go from being a guy that scored 100 points in your last junior season to then being a role player in the NHL. When did you realize that was going to be your path to an NHL career?
Yeah, that's a good question. Juniors, I had quite a bit of points like you just mentioned, and then had a really good year in the minors, but it was had a lot of injuries at the same time. And then funny story is that I used to work at Jacques Martin, who was, you know, coach on different teams. I think he's in Ottawa. I used to work at his hockey school because he was a family friend and he lived like one town over. And Mark Crawford was a guest at his hockey school every summer. So Mark was there and then kind of cornered me and he's like, you know what, Steph? He's like, you had a good year last year. But, you know, you're coming to camp to make the team. So obviously, you know, we had Sox and Peter and Mike Ricci. We were loaded. But, you know, made my spot on the fourth, third line and, you know, just try to play my game. And again, it just happened the way it happened. And I was lucky enough to stick around for 15 years.
People don't realize you were drafted by the Jersey Devils. You weren't a Quebec Nordique draft pick.
Yep.
And that was actually one of my dad's. I want to say my dad's first trade. I believe it was his first trade. And looking back at it, AJ was looking it up earlier, and he was like, "Holy schnitzkeys, that's a sick trade." When you think about it, for what was traded, and then you ended up having a 15-year career, like you said, it's pretty amazing. I'd like to take credit for my dad, but I won't. meaning like that has nothing to do with that, right? All of a sudden, the staff's like, "Hey, we got to get this stuff on Yale guy," and you know, he's a late round pick from Jersey, and what was the trade for an 11th round?
For an 11th round pick.
I mean, when you think about that, that's crazy. Obviously, he has no idea, like, you know. But I do remember, and I've told you that before. During the lockout, you guys were in Cornwall, and I remember him talking to me or on the phone or wherever I was. I don't remember where I was, but he said to me. Came back and for a big game in Cornwall, he's like, oh, I think we found ourselves a centerman. You know what I mean? And he was talking about Yeller. And it's funny how, because we talk on the show all the time, like, you got to make, and it's a little bit of testament to what you're talking about, what AJ's talking about. You got to make the front office make decisions. And I think they were saying, like, okay, we have Sakic Forsberg. You know, there's Reach, and who cares? Reach can play the wing. And next thing you know, right? Reach ended up being your left winger, and you were the centerman. So, you know, you made people made decisions, and that's what we talk about. And all those guys coming up here from Loveland, and looking back at it, it's like, yeah, sure, I'm a point getter in the NHL, but now I'm going to make myself a career in the National Hockey League, and you were never stubborn with it, and you know, you just jumped on it and did it. Kudos to you. So many people don't want to do it, and they're like, no, I'm not going to change my style. I am so mad I'm not on the power play. And you have to realize, like, I think you said it right there, 20-something years later, Sakic, Forsberg, yeah. Realistically, am I better than them? And the answer is no, and that's what I'm saying. Like, and then that doesn't make us bad. It doesn't make you a bad player because you're inferior to Joe Sakic and Peter Forsberg, right? And that's what Yeller understood, and, you know, which is – so awesome to see, and obviously that you had a long career. But AJ, I'm going to pass it back to you.
Yeah, I just to kind of stay touching on that point. But when you did realize that was that's how you were going to stay in the NHL every offseason, what is it that you tried to work on? What is it? What facets of your game did you really try to hone in on? That made it so that you remained a valuable part of a cup contender.
You know, I actually came in with I was pretty well rounded in juniors. I was blocking shots back then, and you know, my defensive game was still pretty was pretty good. So you know, it's not something I really had to work on, like you're asking. The one thing I had struggles with was my first year in the minors. I had a separated shoulder. I broke my leg, broke my nose, and then I had bad knee tendonitis almost my whole career. So my summers were, and we had long seasons with, you know, the teams that we had. So we had short rest. So it kind of affected my, my recovery. So I was just trying to take care of my body and trying to heal as fast as possible for training camp and testing in September. But as far as the game was is concerned, like I said, I was, you know, I've never been the biggest goal scorer, but in juniors, I was, you know, had a lot of assists. And then, like I said, I was already blocking shots at that time and doing kind of like the little nitty gritty defensive stuff. No, I guess.
Sorry, yeah.
When you got to later on in your career, how much were you able to look back at the early portion of it and realize that those short summers were both a blessing and a curse for you?
Yeah, I think towards the end of my career, I started feeling the short summers even more. And that's a conversation I have with a lot of guys where, you know, some teams that go deep in the playoffs, like the Avs are doing right now, or like Chicago did years ago, like the fans wonder why the teams are struggling or failing. Well, at some point, obviously there's salary cap issues and they lose the, you know, some of their good players because the guys are getting the stats. But at the same time, the summers are short. Guys don't have time to recuperate. Obviously there's the whole partying thing. So it does affect you, especially when you get older.
Hey, speaking of that, like I tell people all the time here, and you guys were before me. I came in that summer, so you guys were before me by 10 months here. And I tell everyone how much of a blast we had living at the Breakers. You were there, and everybody was there, and the whole team was living there. And Yeller was one of the first guys actually to leave the Breakers and go downtown by Coors Field in a loft. But it was so fun. We had such a blast here. It was so new in the community, and only I think Joe and Footy bought houses, and you know, because they were established players. But all of us were just, you know, living at the Breakers, having a great time together. We all hung out together. It was so fun. And Tuesday night, we'd go to the border at the University of Denver. Wednesday night was the Stampede. Yeller was the resident there, myself too. Stampede on, what is it, Iliff and whatever it is, like right Hamden. And Oh my God, what a blast we had. It was so fun. And, you know, looking back at those years, I tell you one thing, it was new. And I tell people all the time, like, it was new. And then we had that relationship with the Chop House, and we'll find that picture of you, me, and Corby. And, you know, it was so fun. And we were so lucky to have people embrace us in this community. And I know you feel this way. And Yeller was a single guy, so was I. We married two lovely girls from Loveland, Colorado. And so we'll forever be tied to Colorado. And then, but yeah, you know, we've had a blast, and I've put on a lot of LBs. You've lost a lot of hair. And then, you know what I mean? You have AJ's haircut right now. And then, no, it's great. I mean, tell us about where you're at now too, and what you're doing a little bit with yourself and your lovely family and your daughters.
Yeah. So we retired in Denver, obviously, for a few years, lived in the same neighborhood up in backcountry. Ended up in Vegas, and then now we're in Scottsdale. We've been in North Scottsdale for 7 years. You know, easy lifestyle. Today's 75. I'm in shorts, just hanging out. But yeah, staying busy. We have a business going on, and girls are getting older, 14 and 16. So just kind of chasing them around. But yeah, things are good.
Awesome. Anything else, AJ?
I'm all good. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks
absolutely.
Yeah, thanks for telling us some stories, and it's always great to have you. And you know, hopefully there'll be some more hockey in Phoenix, Arizona for years to come. But who knows?
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. All right, thank you, buddy.
All right, guys. Thanks. Go Avs.